जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, सोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन सोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन सोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी दया राधा माधव
अष्टोत्तर शतस्य श्रीमद्वैन्द्रे सभेचरणारविन्द भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की मथुरा धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की मायापुर नवदीप धाम की गंगा में यमुनामय की भक्ति की समावेश भक्तवृंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासखितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् సహగణలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషాశూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేష్వభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. సో బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద Chandan applied for the whole body of the beautiful lordships, Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Today the darshan was delayed, so we are beginning only at 8:20 today. I am sorry for the delay. So we'll recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from 11th canto. స్వే స్వే అధికారే యానిష్ఠా సగుణ పరికీర్తితః కర్మణాం జాత్య శుద్ధానాం అనేన నియమః కృతః గుణదోష విధానేన సంగానాం త్యాజనేచ్ఛయా స్వే స్వే అధికారే యానిష్ఠా సగుణః పరికీర్తితః కర్మణాం జాత్యశుద్ధానాం అనేన నియమః కృతః గుణదోష విధానేన సంగానాం త్యాజనేచ్ఛయా. స్వే స్వే అధికారే యానిష్ఠా సగుణః పరికీర్తితః కర్మణాం జాత్యశుద్ధానాం అనేన నియమః కృతః గుణదోష విధానేన స్వే స్వే ఈచ్ ఇన్ హిజ్ ఓన్ అధికారే పొజిషన్ యా విచ్ నిష్ఠా స్టడీ ప్రాక్టీస్ సహ దిస్ గుణ పయటి పరికీర్తితః ఇస్ థరోలీ డిక్లేర్డ్ కర్మణాం ఆఫ్రిటివ్ యాక్టివిటీస్ జాతి బై నేచర్ అశుద్ధానాం ఇంప్యూర్ అనేన బై దిస్ నియమ డిసిప్లినరీ కంట్రోల్ కృత ఇస్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్ గుణ ఆఫ్ పయటీ దోష ఆఫ్ సిన్ విధానేన బై ద రూల్ సంగానాం ఆఫ్ అసోసియేషన్ విత్ డిఫరెంట్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ త్యజన ఆఫ్ రినన్సియేషన్ ఇచ్ఛయా బై ద డిజైర్ Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki.
It is firmly declared that the steady adherence of transcendentalists to their respective spiritual positions constitutes real piety, and that sin occurs when a transcendentalist neglects his prescribed duty. One who adopts this standard of piety and sin, sincerely desiring to give up all past association with sense gratification, is able to subdue materialistic activities which are by nature impure. So the second part I'll read again. We need to pay attention to it. One who adopts this standard of piety and sin, which means in whichever svesvi adhikare, whatever standard in which you are in now, there are prescriptions and prohibitions there. If we adopt this standard of piety and sin, then sincerely desiring to give up all past association with sense gratification, that means whatever baggage of sinful reactions we are carrying, then such a person is able to subdue materialistic activities which are by nature impure. So especially it is said, tyajane chaya. Once you have the icha to give up the past bad association with sense gratification and rise above. Please read it, somebody who has a mic with you.
Lord Krishna here explains more clearly that those persons directly engaged in self-realization, either through Jnana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, need not give up their regular duties and perform special penances to atone for an accidental fall down. The actual purpose of Vedic literature is to direct one back home, back to Godhead, and not to encourage material sense gratification. Although the Vedas recommend innumerable rituals for promotion to heavenly planets and enjoyment of all varieties of material opulence, such materialistic rewards are meant only to engage materialistic people who otherwise would become demoniac. To purify an accidental fall down, one who is engaged in transcendental realization need not adopt any procedure beyond his own spiritual practice. The words Sanganam tyajane chaya indicate that one should not practice Krishna consciousness or self-realization superficially or casually. Rather, one should sincerely and earnestly desire freedom from one's past sinful life. Similarly, the words Yah Nishtha indicate that one must constantly practice Krishna consciousness. Thus, essential piety is to give up material sense gratification and engage in the loving service of the Lord. One who engages his senses, mind and intelligence 24 hours a day in the Lord's service is the most pious person, and the Lord personally protects such a surrendered soul.
Jai. So, Hare Krishna. Is sound coming clearly? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, in essence, what we read in the shloka, Svesvyadhikare Anishta, Sadguna Parikirtitaha. So, it's a very, very important verse. At every platform in our spiritual life, there is something which is piety and there is something that is sinful for us. And by sticking to it and by desiring to get rid of our past baggage of sinful habits and everything, then one actually keeps progressing upward. That's one main point there. Sanganam tyajane chaya. Another important point is there has to be growth in our spiritual life. And if the growth is happening, it will bring us from a shaky platform to a steady platform. In this seminar, which I will do it in three parts, this is the part one today, shaky to steady spiritual life. So, in following three Sundays, I am planning to do part one, part two, part three. So, why our spiritual life becomes shaky and how it can become steady, will become crystal clear to you in these three sittings. I am taking from the very basic, and as we proceed, it will become very clear. So if we can clearly know the factors that contribute to making a shake in our system in spiritual life, then we can also find a way to set right them. So this is all based on the Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani book by Solna Shivaram Swami Maharaj. I beg for his blessings. Such a beautiful book where he has taken the nectar of devotion and he has elaborated the teachings of Prabhupada, the nectar of devotion, through many other books like Bhajana Rahasya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur or by Vishnachakudra Thakur, Madhurya Kadambini. He has referred to many such books and they have made it easy for us to understand. So I have given some headings and some slight modifications here and there with the examples and all I have added to the text and prepared this PowerPoint today. So now when we talk about spiritual life, I am going from the very basic, which is Varnashrama Dharma. Varnashrama means Varna and Ashrama. Varna means the prescribed duties and Ashrama means the spiritual duties. So we begin from that, and as we proceed, we will come to Krishna consciousness. Yeah, please read it. Why follow Brahmacharya or Grihastha Dharma? Yeah.
Fruitive workers follow the path of Varnashram Dharma. Of these workers, some are ignorant of the purpose of the Vedic social system and follow it merely as tradition. Example, family traditions.
Yeah, correct. Actually, majority of the people, even in India, following the Hindu culture, they follow the Varnashrama tradition. What is the meaning of following Varnashrama tradition? Like they will get properly married to a man or a woman as per the plan of the parents, and they will call the brahmanas and conduct a Vedic sacrifice and give them charity, and they will do these things. Why? They will say that this has been done in our family. It's a family tradition. This is the way things are done in our tradition, so we follow it. So they have a Kula Devata whom they go to worship along with all the family members. They also put up certain religious festivals at home. If you ask them, why do you do it? They will say, it has been done. Like our Arjuna also talks about Kula Dharma Sanatanaha. Dharma Nashte Kulam Krishna Madharma Bhivavatyuta. He says like that in Bhagavad Gita also. There are certain traditions which come in the family. For example, on a certain day, they will give charity to certain brahmanas. If somebody passes in a family, you have to give godan and things like that. So they have certain set ideas which they have learned from their forefathers. They just follow it as a tradition. Go ahead.
Others see Varnashram society as a vehicle for religious life.
Yeah.
Example.
Ajamila. Yeah. Like there are people who think that Varnashrama provides us the naimittika karma. And so the spiritual world, we have nitya karma. Nitya, which is the soul has eternal dharma, which is called Sanatana Dharma. But in this material world, we have certain duties to be done in this world. For example, a brahmana has to do Gayatri Mantra 3 times a day. And also, if someone has a shaligrama, one has to perform certain type of pujas, mantras, and procedures to be followed very attentively, carefully. And similarly, one has to offer obeisances to the acharya, obeisances to mother and father. Similarly, on holy days, people visit the holy places to take a holy dip. And some people go to Balaji temple and shave up their head. So in this way, you will find there are religious activities. People use the Varnashrama as a vehicle for their religious life. Ajamila was doing that. And they know very well that by doing all these activities, your piety will accrue. The goal is, we should increase our piety and destroy our sinful reactions so that our future will be glorious, will be bright. Go ahead.
Still others participate in it out of duty and to set a perfect example. Example, King Janak.
There are people who have earlier followed Varnashrama. Now they have come to purified state, but still they continue to follow. As Krishna said, that karmane visam siddhim asito janakadeha loka sangraham evapi. Sampashyan kartum arhasi. Just for setting an example, they still continue. Actually, they can renounce and go for the higher order of sannyas or something like that, but they won't go. Janaka still rules. He was ruling the kingdom in order to set an example. So in this way, you will find the Varnashrama tradition is actually like a basic ground level platform for very, very gradual and slow purification of the soul from all the impurities. Now, this is the basic slide first I have shown you now. Now, while situating oneself in Varnashrama, exactly what happens, we will see in the following slides. How that purification happens? Simply doing little pious activities makes you pure, or what is the mechanism? We will see now. Yeah. How to rise from piety to spirituality? Yeah.
Materialistic persons attached to a specific role in the social structure have faith in the efficacy of the Varnashram system. Their piety is in their obedience to the divine regulations set forth by Sri Krishna.
Yeah, one more reading.
For them, religion is a means to perfect their social and familial obligations.
Yeah. For example, what are the family obligations? The father should be protective, the children should be grateful, the wife should be chaste, and the family should be tied up together, going ahead as per the religious duty, respecting the elders, respecting the Lord, respecting the Guru, and respecting Brahmanas, and living according to the law codes of the scriptures, and celebrating religious festivals. And in this way, people want to have a life of piety and prosperity, both. So, and therefore they place themselves under the guidance of learned Brahmanas and voluntarily restrain themselves from irreligious acts. For example, for a grihastha man, say a businessman who is a grihastha, who is a religious businessman, for him, what is a religious act? If he leaves his wife and runs with another woman, that is a religious act, isn't it? Or if he becomes irresponsible for his family and becomes a drunkard or a smoker, that is considered a religious act. He arranges to beat somebody or kill somebody, that is a religious act. And they won't do such things. Even the pious, big, rich businessmen, they will not do it because they voluntarily restrain themselves from irreligious acts by placing themselves under the guidance of learned Brahmanas. For them, this is religion. Therefore, they are obedient to the divine regulations set forth by Lord Krishna. Business means morality. Business and social circles, they will follow the principle of morality. And in the home, loyalty and chastity and alignment with God. These are things people follow. Although such people consider their gain to be peace, happiness and prosperity, this is the goal they want to attain. They want to be peaceful, they want to be happy, they want to be prosperous. They know that if you are doing punya activities, you will prosper. This is one of the reasons why many businessmen call sadhus or brahmanas to their business enterprise and tell them to sit in their seat. They have a proprietor's seat. They will request them, please kindly sit in this place and sanctify this place so that my business will run nicely. I will prosper in my business. Also, I will give up some of my swami bhav, my proprietorship mentality, that I am actually the owner of the business. I am running the show. Please kindly sit here. You are actually God's representative. So, actually, it is ultimately God who is the real owner. So, for these purposes, these people, similarly, you will see, they will see the Vastu. According to the Vastu, they will do everything. And they will also start any activity garlanding the Lord and performing some yajna, inviting people and feeding them prasad. So, even in industries and companies and all, we see even nowadays we find. So, this type of business people, they are obedient to Lord, and the Lord's devotees are Brahmanas, which means obedient means they voluntarily restrain themselves from religious activities. So that itself is piety for them. And the goal of their piety is they want peace and prosperity and happiness. And many of them openly say that because we are following these principles, you know, our family is a happy family. And it is a fact actually, when people restrain their mind and senses based on the religious teachings given by the Brahmanas, they may actually experience some amount of material happiness. As you know, the scriptures say that when you act in sattva, you experience knowledge and happiness. So these people, whatever platform they may be, because they are aligning with Lord and aligning with Brahmanas, they become happy. But actually the real reward, do you know what it is? They gain something else. They may not realize it. The real reward is they have increased their eligibility for spiritual life by this alignment. Actually, they have become more qualified for spirituality now than before. Before that, they were only making money. They were only enjoying life. But now they have come to a increased platform. So this is in one of our things we can do in our preaching also is bring impious people to the platform of pious people. So that if they continue to be pious like this, then they are increasing their eligibility for spiritual life gradually. Okay. What to do if I am not frustrated with Maya? There are people who are engaging in Maya's activities in the world and they are never tired and they are dynamic and enthusiastic, you see that. They are expanding their business, they are expanding their money, they are flying here, they are flying there, doing this, doing that, and they are very proud of their achievements. I got so many awards and I did this, I did that. Persons governed by lower modes of nature are unaware that they should become attracted to Krishna and please him by their work. They are less intelligent, Alpamedasam, Krishna says. You see, most of the people are unaware that they should become attracted to Krishna and they should please the Lord. People wonder, why should we please the Lord? Actually, you just do your activities, make money, and have facilities and just enjoy life. Most of the people, 90% of the population is like that. They delight in their own hard work and they produce fruits and they delight in the fruits and their life goes on for them like this. Krishna does not condemn such persons, but he recommends that they follow the Vedic injunctions and worship him according to their individual nature. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata mat kata shravanadova shraddha yavan najayate. As long as one is not saturated or satiated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. That means there are three platforms. One is materialistic animal-like platform where eat, drink and be merry one is doing. And then one comes to the higher platform of second platform where one still wants to do eat, drink and be merry, but according to Vedic injunctions. Then one comes to the platform of devotional service, where one is interested in Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, three levels. One is religious platform, spiritual platform. Like animal, then human, then divine. So, these three are explained here. Now, if somebody you find they are not ready for hearing and chanting Bhagavatam, following the four regulative principles and chanting the holy name and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they are not satisfied with devotional service, probably they don't have the adhikar for it. Therefore they are feeling shakiness in spiritual life. So they feel very shaky in spiritual life. They find it very difficult to practice chanting, find it very difficult to, sit in the class and listen to the class. Because they have certain impurities in their heart, which actually impel them to do a lot of hard material work. So, people want to do work and the result of the work is the fruits. So, they want to work hard and enjoy the fruits. Then you will see a smile on their face. There are people who want to start industries. There are people who want to take farm and develop the farms. There are people who want to go abroad and do big degrees and come. There are people who want to make big money, become a very big industrialist. So people have a lot of desires. There are people who want to make a career as a cinema actor, actress. There are people who want to make a career as a big professional businessman. So with all those desires, you just tell them wear a dhoti kurta and just wear a tilak and just clap hands and chant Hare Krishna. You know, they may sit for maybe 2 days, 4 days. After that, they will say kudu 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 inside their own personal ambitions, aspirations and desires are troubling them. Therefore, here the Lord is saying, Tavat karmani kurvita, na nirvidyate yavata. Nirvidyate means, if one is not sufficiently frustrated with the materialistic activities and enjoying those fruits of those activities, one is not frustrated. One thinks there is still enjoyment there. Artificially, they will not be able to take to Shravanam and Kirtanam, he is saying. For example, if you are very Brahminical, you may say, hey, eat simple prasad. Simple kichdi, drink some milk, you know, eat some simple kichdi, be satisfied in that. But somebody is not in a Brahminical platform or a Sattvaguna, he is in Rajaguna, Tamaguna. He is going to want very spicy and hot and, you know, chatpata, they say, no? Like saltish and sour and, you know, very sweet and very hot. All these things one wants. Artificially, you give him this type of sattvic ahar, he is not able to fit. He finds himself a misfit. Therefore, he shakes there. He shivers there. Huh? What is this? You know, this is not very fit for me. At the same time, there is problem. What is the problem? If he eats the rajoguni, tamoguni type of foods, then after eating those foods, certain mentalities are produced by that. And those mentalities will not allow him to do devotional service. Rather, those mentalities will drive him to do the activities at lower nature. And that is what one wants in the lower conditions. So there are three platforms, a religious platform and spiritual platform. So what Krishna is telling, people who are unfit for spiritual platform, they can get down to the middle one. Be on the religious platform, which is going to be explained in the future slides now. If you are very shaky on the spiritual platform, it is unfit for you, then come down to the religious platform, be a pious man, and Krishna will teach also, in the Bhagavad Gita also he teaches that. If you are not satiated with fruitive activity, and you are not awakened taste for devotional service, and then act according to regulatory principles of the Vedic injunction, which is going to teach now. So, don't go down to the last platform. That is what platform it is? Irreligious. Animal platform. It's animal platform. Then you will terribly suffer by that. So, you want to do animalistic type of activities. So, don't live a carefree life of eat, drink and be merry. Elevate yourself to religious platform. Do it in a regulated way. You can enjoy life, but enjoy in a regulated way in the religious platform. And then gradually, when you become purified, you will come to the spiritual platform to hear and chant. Yeah. Why Krishna shows demigod worshippers special interest? Please read it.
If the faith of the materialists is not contaminated by Mayavad conceptions, it will grow, and over a long period of time, the tendency to accept and follow authority will strengthen, lead to a semblance of devotion to the Supreme Lord, and ultimately to pure devotional service. In other words, faith in demigods ultimately leads to faith in Krishna.
See, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna devotes some time speaking about the demigods in several verses, isn't it? Not only that, Krishna says that I give the faith in the heart of the people who go to demigods to develop faith in those demigods. And through the demigods, I am the one who gives the gifts to those people. Both ways. From demigod direction and the worshipper direction, Krishna is doing. So why is Krishna doing all these things? Because if these irreligious people in the third platform, if somehow or other, by the inspiration of their friends or social circles, they go to some demigod temple and they come to know that this demigod is a powerful demigod, Jagrut demigod. He will give you these benedictions. Due to the greed for accumulating more wealth, for accumulating more land or more success in business, they agree to worship the demigods. There are various demigods across the country, they go to worship. And when they do that, the result is what? Implicitly, they have started surrendering to the Vedic injunctions, which means the alignment to the authority has started from acceptance of the demigods. And then what will happen to that? Once they do that, then gradually it's likely that they may respect the brahmanas, you know, they may start respecting the scriptures, you know, they understand that Vedas are also giving very nice things. So what began as a faith in the demigods for a greedy purpose eventually gives them faith in the Vedic literature, faith in the brahmanas, and then gradually likely that one day, after a long time, he says, it may take many lifetimes also, after many lifetimes, they may come to Krishna's temple, they may bow down to Krishna, then they will come in the category of Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukrutun Arjuna Artho Jigyasura Artharthi Jnani. In that category they will come. Read it.
Then why did Srila Prabhupada preach
so vehemently against it? Actually, Prabhupada vehemently protested against demigod worship, no? Worship only Krishna. Why did Prabhupada say that? Yes.
In Kali Yuga, the Vedic system has all but vanished. There are no longer qualified brahmanas to guide people. No longer the security of a society based on varnashram dharma to facilitate the long-term cultivation of faith. Mayavad philosophy...
So you understand these two points. The first point says that when nowadays you say demigod, but then there are so many temples are open now which are not demigod. They have made some human beings into God. And they are worshipping them in temples. You find that. And there are many concocted demigods also, which are not mentioned in the Vedic literature, that people are worshipping also in many places. In one place one man had put his own murti with two other faces like Brahma. You know, and then he is making people worship. Although beautifully built temple, the deity people go there and they will be shocked. There are this kind of crazy things are happening in Kali Yuga. And also the brahmanas, many of them have degraded. They wear a 25 paisa sacred thread around their body, but they are all drinking and smoking and they have become very degraded and polluted. So they are not there to properly teach people how to worship and everything. That is one thing. And the second thing he says that in the Vedic times you will find the setting of the society was such that, you know, people who stick to the varnashrama could very gradually get promotion and go up, 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 up. But now the security of the society has become spoiled, which means the society is having an onslaught of various religious things like the cinema theatres and the clubs and the pubs and the parties. And the people, even those who want to be gradually religious, for them there is no scope now. Because the things are ruining the people's life. And there is no, like the security here especially means, for example, the mother, father, son, daughter, properly marriage happening in the family, and the religious functions happening in the family. Those things are all gone now. People of all age groups are sitting and watching TV now. And the brahmanas are also not there to institute the Vedic injunctions, nor are the people interested to faithfully follow them, he says. And then thirdly, he says, Mayavad has stolen the people's knowledge about both demigods and Krishna. Because Mayavadis are loudly preaching that, you know, I am God, you are God, everyone is God. They are really ruining the whole society. Therefore, Prabhupada was very angry. And materialism, that is even worse. It has distracted ordinary people from adhering to religious codes. Even a person who says, I want to be religious, you know, the materialism has completely distracted them. Nowadays, everywhere you find people are with smartphones and people are with movie theaters and bad habits. In those days, a liquor shop will not be seen in the city. But now in the middle of the city, you find a long, big liquor shop with all the bottles arranged there. So, the materialism has taken over because of the Kali Yuga, rampant Kali Yuga setting coming in. So, materialism, Mayavad, no security in society, no qualified brahmanas, under all the circumstances, the acharyas have discarded demigod worship as ineffectual. And Prabhupada has voiced the same conclusion. And he strongly encouraged people, don't offend the demigods, but worship Lord Krishna directly. This was Prabhupada's instruction. Actually, demigod worship would be very valuable over many lifetimes to bring a person from a religious platform to the spiritual platform. But now it is no more effectual because people are not even aware how the demigod should be properly worshipped. You know? And also, you know, people are not having sufficient patience and sufficient sattva to gradually progress in religious life like that. So therefore he says that Prabhupada vehemently was against it and he told, worship Krishna directly and go back to God. Okay. So now, here, read this. How sadhu sangha transforms us. How the association with the saintly person can take us from one stable platform to the next stable platform. See, shaky platform means there is a problem. What is the problem? Either you are not doing your piety and avoiding sinful activity stably on that platform. For example, if a child is supposed to be in second standard, you make the child sit in the sixth standard, what will happen? He will be shaky there. Then he has to be in second. But there are some children who actually have passed out from fifth and come to sixth standard, still they'll be shaky. Why? Because they don't want to study. They're mischievous. Because people who are supposed to be on a religious platform want to be in a religious platform. You understand, no? Then they'll be shaky in a religious platform. That is not due to demanding a higher qualification activity from them. That is due to their own sinful propensities. So, there are two things pulling a person. One is the downward vector, which is sinful propensity. And the upward vector is the Brahmanas, the Vedas, the Supreme Lord are telling, follow the Vedic injunctions. One should find out, should I put myself in this platform or this platform, which platform? And once you put yourself there, one should stick to the piety and avoidance of those prohibitions. And then one will be peaceful and stable. And how that peace comes? Stability comes. The stability comes because of faith in the Brahmanas, faith in the scriptures, faith in those injunctions given. It's not that it is very easy to practice. For example, a rich man, you tell him, actually very rich people also feel little pain to donate. Do you know that? Because they have to cut a portion of the money and give. You may say he has got, you know, 20,000 crores. What is the problem for him to give 1 crore? If I had 20,000 crores, I would have given 1 crore. Actually, if you are able to give 1 crore, you would have never come to 20,000 crores. People who become extremely rich, they are penny to penny they spend. If you see how rigid they are, how diplomatic they are in making the money, you will be shocked. They will not release money. So, a person in a dharmic platform, religious platform, has to do certain things by having faith in the Brahmanas and the Vedas and the Supreme Lord. Yeah. So, read it now. Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada narrated the
story. Now, this story, everybody knows Sanatana Goswami story, but you will have to observe the learning lessons which will come out. How the person becomes religious is explained here. Yeah.
Narrated the story of Sanatana Goswami and the touchstone. To illustrate how in the Vedic social system, with a strong Vaishnava association, demigod worship led to a semblance of devotion and ultimately to pure devotion.
A pure devotion is bhakti. Semblance of devotion is bhakti abhas, we call it, which actually will eventually lead to bhakti. In, for example, if the bhakti is mixed with karma, jnana, yoga, it is called bhakti abhas. And then when karma, jnana, yoga are removed, it's completely clean, then it's called shuddha bhakti. So, initially one's bhakti is not observed at all. Then there is bhakti with karma, jnana, yoga mixture. Then eventually one comes to shuddha bhakti. So, how a person moves ahead, let us see. Acharya, you can read, give the mic to Acharya.
She was two types of kripa, sakapat, akapat.
Yeah, sakapat means what he showed to Bhasmasura. The Bhasmasura saw Shiva as the demigod and wanting to exploit the demigod, he got destroyed. Akapata kripa he gave for our prachetas, like that, yeah, yes.
Once a Vedic Brahmana worshipped Lord Shiva to acquire the greatest treasure, the Brahmana thought he could be happy by religious means. But Lord Shiva did not want his devotee to entangle himself further in the cycle of birth and death.
Yeah, see here, that Brahmana, what he thought? He can be happy by religious means. See, this is actually the second platform. Irreligious platform means, I'll be happy by irreligion. I will do religious activities, eat, drink and be merry. I will take loot, everything from everyone and I will enjoy. That is irreligion. Religious person means he thinks that, you know, God is great, I am small, and God can provide me everything I want if I go to him. So I can be happy if I align with God. Just like a boy, if he is naughty, then father may not give him what he wants. If he is not naughty, if he aligns with father, he will provide whatever he wants. So that was his attitude towards Shiva. So that means he had material desires which he thought Lord Shiva will fulfill. And then Shiva, at the same time, what was Shiva's plan? He didn't want his devotee to entangle. That is, Lord Shiva is also a Parama Vaishnava. Whoever comes to him, he sees their attitude. So Shiva saw that this Brahman is a good soul. You know, he has a material desire to take from me and enjoy. But why should he take the material desires and get entangled in this world? Let me try to help him to clear up his material desire and give him a promotion to the higher level. Like that Shiva thought, yes.
So Lord Shiva appeared before the Brahmana and told him that Sanatana Goswami would give him the greatest treasure. The Brahmana rushed to Vrindavan.
That means, why he rushed to Vrindavan? Not because he fell in love with Krishna. Why he rushed to Vrindavan? Treasure. Because he knew Sanatana has a treasure and he wanted the treasure. So his whole attention is focused on what? Getting the treasure which will expand his material life. That is his plan, yeah.
So Brahmana rushed to Vrindavan and informed Sanatana Goswami of Lord Shiva's order.
Shiva told me you have a treasure and you are supposed to give me the treasure. Yes.
Material delights don't last forever.
Yeah.
The Goswami at once went to a nearby heap of refuse, retrieved something from it and handed it to the Brahmana. He told the Brahmana that it was a touchstone, the most valuable thing in his possession. A touchstone is a divine stone that turns anything it touches into gold. The Brahmana was overjoyed to receive it, but soon wondered why anyone would keep such a treasure in the refuse.
See, this is the nature of material pleasure. When you get the material pleasure, in the beginning you delight in it, but immediately you think that, hey, if this person has given it to me, that means why did he keep it in the dustbin? He must be having something more valuable, like that he thought. So, generally, the material tendency is, in this world, if I get something, I always don't enjoy what I have, but I always look at others, what they have. If somebody has something better than what I have, then I keep burning in my heart. Therefore, material delights don't last for long. They don't last for long. Very soon, we get frustrated. Like, for example, there was one poor man who came from the village to Pune. You know, in village, he was just doing some khetibadi. You know, he was just doing some farming and everything, making little money. They had only a few, 3-4 acres of land. Later on, he was the only son. The family members told him, you have to make some more money, go to city. So he came to city here. And then he started doing some kind of work, carpentry work. And then he became a carpenter, got some training. And then he started driving a Luna. Eventually, he became bigger. And then he got business here, he got business there, a lot of carpentry work. Then he had 3-4 people working under him. Gradually he started a plywood shop. And then he had a shop, and then he had a very big shop. Now he has got a car. He goes to shop in a car, he has built a house. Now even with all these things, he is not satisfied. He feels that he has a smaller car, he needs a bigger car. So you will see that in material life. You think about the days when you were in a village, you were eating little meager food and you had no vehicle. But now you are a big businessman, and now he is working day and night, you know, in order to expand his business and make more money. Material life is like a never-ending game. His Holiness Chandramani Maharaj once said, you know, material life is like a football game where you never win and you can never stop playing, he said. Lifelong, you keep on trying to accumulate more. One day, suddenly you die. That's all. You can never stop playing this game and you will never win. Yeah, you never win also, he said. Similarly, Brahmana initially was delighted when he got the parsimony. But then immediately he thought, if this parsimony is in dustbin, maybe this Brahmana is having something better than this. Therefore, immediately he wanted to know that. Yes. So he asked Sanatan, is this touchstone really the greatest treasure you possess? He asked him.
Give up to go up. Sanatan then instructed him in the temporary nature of material objects. and the eternal blissful nature of devotional service. He offered
see, when you give up the earthly pleasures and then do lot of yajna, jyotishtama and everything, then you can go up to heaven. When you get fed up with the heavenly and earthly pleasures, then you will aspire for liberation. Then you can go to moksha. When you get fed up with moksha because there is no activity there, no service there, and then you surrender to Krishna, then you go up to Goloka. That means you have to give up the lower thing to go up. Give up to go up. Now, Sanatan told him the temporary nature of material objects. He preached to him. That means Sanatan preached to him. And he told him how the devotion service for the Lord is more eternal, it's blissful. In this world you are suffering because the world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So Sanatan preached to him. Read further.
He offered to give the Brahmana his greatest spiritual treasure, but only if the Brahmana was willing to discard the touchstone.
Whenever there is some suffering that comes in our life, then only people are willing to sit and listen. Somebody has died in their home and they are weeping, crying. Then when sadhus come, then people are a little more open to hear. They are willing to hear. Let us hear now. Some suffering comes, then they turn to God, they hear. Now if the sadhu says, tells them, you just see, you know, when you are newly born, you were a small kid and you were all alone with your mother and father. Now when a kid grows up, as that verse says, deha vatya kalatradishu atma sainyeshu asatsu api tesham pramatto nidhanam paschan api na paschasi paschati. He says that when a person grows up to a certain age, especially youth, you will find in all species of life, in the youth stage, one looks for a mate. Whether it is a dog, whether it is a cat, whether it is a cockroach, whether it is a fish, whether it is a bird in the sky, whether it be human being, at a certain stage, when the body grows to adolescence, then one looks for a mate. And whether illicitly or licitly, when people combine, immediately the result is children. By that, when the children come, then naturally one puts up a home, one purchases the commodities, facilities, amenities, increases. And then the result is, when the children come, the children grow up and then they are married, then children come from them. Then you say, this is, you know, my brother-in-law, this is sister-in-law, this is father-in-law, this is father's father, this is mother's mother, you know, his brother's brother-in-law, sister-sister-in-law. In this way, the family becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, expanded. And then with a very expanded family, you feel very secure and think that, oh, we are coming together for functions, we are all helping each other, very good family. But the unfortunate thing is, eventually one by one people pull out, people will pass away. Grandfather passed away, grandmother passed away, everybody passed away, you are alone practically ultimately. So if you think about it, in life, it is a fallible life. It's like you had a lot of soldiers in your army, and finally one by one, all the soldiers are finished. Then you are all alone. You began with alone, you accumulated a lot, and then you get again all alone again, like that. There are parents who begot children, and the children grew up and they all went abroad. And now they are alone, and the spouse also passes away, then they are practically single. And they are very rich, they may have a big house, they may say, we have a grand house, we have a swimming pool, you know, we have very nice comfortable facilities, we have a car, but there is nobody to use them because everybody is abroad nowadays. You will see that. So therefore, one understands in this world, happiness doesn't prevail for a long time. Over a period of time, practically one has to come to grip with the fact that everybody pushes out of the scene, they go out of the scene. So therefore, he realizes the temporary nature. So he offered to give the Brahmana his greatest spiritual treasure, but only if the Brahmana was willing to discard the touchstone. Yes, go ahead.
The Brahmana did as he was told, and Sanatan gave him Krishna's holy name and pure devotional service. Truly, the greatest of treasures.
Then let us see what happened now. Read it. Here is the science of Sadhu Sangha's influence. How the Sadhu Sangha influences a person, you will see here.
In the beginning, the Brahmana was a demigod worshipper, ignorant of path of pure devotion. The fruit of his properly worshipping Lord Shiva was contact with the great devotee Sanatan Goswami.
Now did this Brahmana want pure devotion?
No.
No. He wanted material benefits. So he went to a demigod. But he went to a demigod like Lord Shiva and he properly was worshipping him. Which means a demigod demigods, they have two sides of their personality. One is material side, spiritual side, Ganesha also. So if the demigod finds that this person is more or less free from the propensity for getting entangled, and this person has the potential to become a devotee, then the demigod will guide a person to Lord Krishna. So when he properly worshipped Shiva, the gift of that worship was what? Contact with the great devotee Sanatana. That was gifted by Shiva. Even all of you ask yourself, say you are studying in a college. So one of your friend comes to you, asks you a notebook, and you think that he is not very religious or pious, not inclined. You just give him notebook and you take his notebook, or you give him some pen, you whatever he asks you give, but you don't talk about Krishna consciousness. Correct, no? On the other hand, if a person comes to you and shows some interest in you, that, you know, I see that you are going to some classes, you are chanting holy name, and you have a group of people, what do you guys do? If you show some interest, then you will open up. Oh, really, would you like to come? We have weekly program on that day, please come and join. You are most welcome. And then you will help him to become a devotee. Correct, no? So two types of boys come to you, and you deal with two guys in two different ways. You deal. Same way demigods also deal. So the demigod Shiva, he saw that this Brahmana had a scope of becoming a devotee. So he guided him to Sanatana and offered that as a gift. Read further, as the first.
Sanatana Goswami, okay. As the first effect of Sanatana's company, mixed devotion appeared in Brahmana's heart.
Now, what is mixed devotion? Mixed devotion means like, you know, Artho Jignasa Arthartha Jnani. Which means actually he went with material desire to the Supreme Lord. That's called mixed devotion. Like Dhruva also was a mixed devotee. He was ready to do devotion to Lord Vishnu, but at the same time he had his material program, material desires. Yeah, go ahead.
For he had surrendered. At first effect of Sanatana's company, mixed devotion appeared in the Brahmana's heart, for he had surrendered to the Goswami to acquire wealth. But once the Brahmana had acquired the touchstone, the Brahmana became further purified by continuing to think of the Goswami as well as receiving the Goswami's transcendental teachings. This gave the Brahmana pure faith and eventually pure devotion.
See here, what happened here? Initially, no devotion. Then mixed devotion. And then he observed that this Sanatana Gosai, what is he doing? He is completely sold out to the Lord. He is a minister of Bengal. He left such a big high position. Now he is living in Braja, Vrindavan Dham, just wearing a kamsha. And he is chanting the holy name and is fully devoted to establishing the holy place here and then preaching and everything. So he is touched by the personality of the saint. And also he is touched by his teachings. Yeah, what he is saying is true. You know, bhutva bhutva praliyate, all the material world is created and destroyed again and again. You know, in this world nothing is permanent. You know, yastha sarvesha bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati, when this world will be destroyed, that world will never be destroyed. So what he says is true. I want to go to spiritual world, at the same time, right now I also want some wealth also. So then I will practice mixed devotion. So now he is practicing mixed devotion, but whenever he goes home, in his mind he thinks of two things. Sanatana, who is a saint who inspired him, and Sanatana's instructions that we should become a pure devotee. And this keeps constantly coming in his mind. And the more he meditates on the saintly qualities of Sanatana and the instructions given by Sanatana, he will come to a platform of pure faith. Initially there was mixed faith, then he comes to pure faith. When the pure faith arises, that turns into pure devotion. That means no devotion, mixed devotion, pure devotion, pure faith. Like that, this is the way the Sadhu Sangha influences a person. Yeah, read it.
When is Varnashram considered dead? This is the effect of saintly company, truly the greatest treasure of Varnashram system. Without Sadhu Sangha, the Varnashram system is merely a physical framework unable to bestow spiritual advancement. It is like the perennial automobile body of which Srila Prabhupada so often spoke, a body that has no value without the driver soul.
So Varnashrama without Sadhu Sangha is like a car without driver. For example, now in the modern times, lot of people are talking about Varnashrama, even in our ISKCON society, and there is a lot of talk going on. Imagine if a lot of grihasthas are inspired by the idea of Varnashrama, they think that yes, you know, putting up a very good family, you know, we should learn art of parenting, we should learn about how husband and wife can cooperatively live. First have the focus on the family members, so that you lead a happy life, and then you can become Krishna conscious. Actually, this is a very good program when they have a strong sadhu sangha, when they have a very strong saintly Vaishnava association. With that association, where they are guided to do pure devotional service, then this will be meaningful. Otherwise, what will happen, as he says, it will be like a car without
driver.
Here, this Brahmana had a materialistic program, but he had a very strong propensity for sadhu sangha with Sanatan. So there is no problem with material desires, provided you have sadhu sangha. Because sadhu sangha will ensure that the material desires are cleared off. But if sadhu sangha doesn't clear material desires, all you have is, you are thinking you are very religious, but you are maintaining the material desires, which is coming in which offense? 10th offense, yeah. And you become more and more materially attached. Therefore, Varnashrama is considered dead. Varnashrama has life when it is elevating. Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Then Varnashrama has life. If Samsiddhir Kutumbatoshanam, Samsiddhir Manatoshanam, Samsiddhir Indriyatoshanam, then Varnashrama is considered dead. Then it is like materialistic life only. Yeah. So, importance of sadhu sangha. See, here is a verse spoken by Raghunath Das Goswami. You know, he says that this he spoke actually when Rupa Goswami and others disappeared from the planet. He says, Shunyayate mahagoshtam girindro ajagarayate vyagratundayate kundam jivatu rahitasyame. He is saying, Shunyayate mahagoshtam. Mahagoshtam is the Vrindavan. The Vrindavan with all its beauty appears to me like a dreary void or completely empty without the presence of great Vaishnava like Rupa Goswami. And Girindro Ajagarayate, the Giriraj Govardhan appears like a very big snake. And Vyagratundayate Kundam, he is saying, the Radha Kund appears like a gaping mouth of a ferocious tiger. Vyagratunda for me. Jivatu rahitasyame, without Rupa Goswami here, he says. That means even a great soul like Raghunath Das Goswami is feeling separation from Rupa Goswami, another Vaishnava. Therefore, he says that sadhu sangha is very important for inspiring us and elevating us. Without sadhu sangha, there is no inspiration, no purification, no elevation. We are just stuck on a metal platform. We don't grow. If you think we are doing Varnashrama, whether we are brahmachari or whether we are grihastha, whoever we be, you may officially hear classes. I am supposed to hear this class because attendance is taken. But you need some sadhu who touches your heart, purifies your heart, transforms your heart and elevates you. And if you don't have inspiration, you are dead. That's the meaning of this. We are no more than dead. That's all we are. Therefore, advancement in religious principles means there has to be inspiration. There has to be very strong inspiration from some saintly person, some Vaishnava which should be there. So, therefore, I gave this example. Yeah, and then this we already saw in one of the previous classes, Bhakti in Ignorance, Passion and Goodness. And by understanding these three, we can easily see how the shakiness comes in our life. In Ignorance and Passion, here are the examples of the shakiness. Read it.
The path leading to pure devotion is graded according to devotee's relative freedom from the modes. Dominated by ignorance, the lowest stage, the devotees tend to be lazy, to oversleep, to give up easily, to break the rules, to make foolish mistakes, and so on. Dominated by passion, they are apt to over-endeavor, cultivate separate interests, be too attached to results, fight unnecessarily with others, and change services often and whimsically. Dominated by goodness, devotees are inclined to remain secluded, be thoughtful, regulated, knowledgeable, happy to the point of self-complacency and to think themselves better than others.
Out of the three, the goodness is best because it is very close to Vishuddha Sattva. One can go up. Otherwise, the ignorance and passion produces a lot of shakiness in spiritual life. In ignorance, one is practically stuck up in spiritual life, stagnated in ignorance. In passion, one is shaky. So you can be stagnated or shaky. both things can happen. But in goodness, one can be steady. So, one can go through these things. Yeah. Here, the next two slides I am showing, practical tips for grihasthas to be steady. What about brahmacharis? These are applicable to brahmacharis also. But why I have specifically written grihasthas? These points are very simple, Maharaj gives. Because if these things are faithfully applied, then they can become steady. Yes.
Practical tips for grihasthas to be steady. What are the practical things someone does to cultivate goodness and gradually free him or herself from the sense of I-ness and my-ness? As based on Srimad Bhagavatam 11.13.4. Krishna says that the mode of goodness becomes increasingly prominent when one studies religious scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam, chant mantras such as the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, performs rituals such as worshipping Krishna's deity forms, practices meditation such as remembering Krishna's pastimes.
So, grihasthas can make a program. They can welcome a deity at home, and by touching the deities and bathing the deities and dressing the deity and putting a festival for the deity, just as they may have propensity to develop attachment to children, wife, husband, mother, father, persons. So, deity is also a person. So, they can fall in love with the deity. Similarly, while going to bed, they can have a Krishna book as the bedtime story, reading from Krishna book for the children, and by sharing the Krishna pastimes with children, then one also remembers Krishna. Similarly, chanting Maha Mantra and regularly having a study program of studying the scriptures. So, in this way, the home becomes like a temple. Yeah. And then,
second one,
how householders, it's continuation, yeah.
Householders can free themselves from material contamination by embracing a way of life that harmonizes with the illuminating quality of goodness. This means that grihastha devotees should live in a family life without much attachment.
See, that means the quality of goodness should become the way of their life. That is all explained in the next few steps.
They should eat.
For example, if in family life, the husband, wife, children, grandfather, grandmother, all of them become overly attached to each other. Like if a grandfather is attached to the grandson, all the time playing with the child, taking for a walk, and that becomes his absorption. And then when the son, boy has gone to school, he is watching TV. In the morning, he is reading newspaper. Then how can the grandfather advance in his vanaprastha? Not possible. Similarly, if a man makes the home the center, and he has no time for God. He wants to bring more money. He wants to take the family for fun. Go here, go there. There are many families which are family-centered. So, then the family center makes him have no time for Krishna. Therefore, he says one has to, in the name of affection for the family, one should not become attached to family and forgetting Krishna. Yes.
They should eat, sleep, dress and bathe according to Brahminical standards.
That means, sleep means sleep early and rise early in the morning, and also eat moderately and eat simple food, and dress very modestly and not very gorgeously, and also bathe twice a day, thrice a day, keeping oneself very Brahminical like this, yes.
They should always avoid sitting or residing with non-devotees.
Long distance they should keep from non-devotees. They should never, if they know somebody is a non-devotee, never even look at them. Although it's very difficult for grihasthas, they have to deal with many non-devotees. But in a society, in a community where devotees can, when I went to America, I saw 10, 20 grihastha families come together and they bunch up in one area. And they stay together and come for the morning program together. And they study Srimad Bhagavatam together. They have 20 minutes class every day. They're Mangalarti. So in many places I found in West. So they are all taking help from each other and support from each other. So, in this way, grihasthas can, like a honeycomb in which all the honeybees live together. Like that, they can make honeycomb like small communities, in case they are living. And if there is a big temple like this, needless to say, one can live around the temple. So, the whole idea is they should avoid sangha with non-devotees. Because that very badly damages their spiritual life. Yes.
As for employment, they should maintain themselves by honest work, without excessive endeavor. And without becoming overly dependent on others.
Yeah. See here it says that they should do honest work and they should not do prayas. That means they should not cheat. Under the table money and all they should not get. That will cause tension. And they should not do prayas too much, like 16 hours or 14 hours. They should work about 8 to 10 hours. And they should not become overly dependent on others means like credit card creates over dependence, loans is over dependence, and also like you find the tendency is always there to take a loan from friends and other people. Later on you won't be able to pay back. So whatever is your pocket, minimize your expenditure. Draw a clear cut line between necessity and luxury and keep yourself within necessity. So these are for grihasthas it is given. See here, how to purify one's mamata. So in this slide I have given this heading of mamata. Next slide is ahanta. Mamata means possessions, ahanta means I. Yeah, I read it.
Fruity workers first recognize their obligations to Krishna when they come to know him as the supreme proprietor. To ensure that their material prosperity, they offer the Lord the results of their work.
Why they offer the results of their work?
For their material prosperity.
That means a religious person, when somehow or other he comes in a good sangha, he becomes religious. He promoted to the religious platform. How? Because he understands that, oh, God is the source of everything. He has created all this world. Now he is convinced now. God is ultimate. And I should do something. So he also knows that God is capable of giving me. I know many business people. They have more faith than you and me that Balaji gives lot of profits in business. They have very deep faith. You will see that. Many times you may think that, we should only worship Balaji for devotion. You may say that. But those people, those who are materialistic minded, they also have a fatherly type of relationship with God. They think God is very great and he is the creator of everyone and everything. If he wants, he can, if I worship him, he will give a good success in my business. So once that firm faith comes that God is very good and he will provide me, so then they become religious. Yeah. To ensure their material prosperity, they offer a portion of their results.
So, kaam karma mishra bhakti, and display the beginnings of detachment.
Yeah, this is called sakama. Why? Because they want material prosperity for themselves, and it's called karma mishra because they are doing the work and offering part of their fruits. It's called, yeah.
As a result, their sense of mine is somewhat slackens.
Yeah, my money, my wife, my home, my car, like that they think, So now they may gradually give up that minus because a part of the mine they are offering it to Krishna. Yeah.
So as a result, their sense of mine is somewhat slackens. But although this materialistic devotees regularly hear that they are not the body, due to ongoing attachment to family and society, their sense of I-ness remains entrenched. They cannot help but identify with the body.
Yeah, they continue to identify with the body, but the minus gradually reduces. And you will see there are business people who say, you can take my car for your service. You can use our house. We have an extra house. Your devotees can come and stay and have a camp. We have no problem. They are ready to give a house, give their car facility. Like one man built 4 or 5 houses in the city. And he told Hare Krishna devotees, those 2 houses are unoccupied. And I don't want to give it to any tenant. Because once you give for a tenant, they don't move out easily. So they said, Hare Krishna devotees, you can use it. Aap log use kijiye 3 saal ke liye. 3 years you use it. After that you will take it. Now it has become 6 years. Still it's going on. He said, no problem. Continue using it. No problem. They're very happy. So that sense of minus goes away gradually by meeting with saintly people. In Bombay, many of the base centers are all gifted by such men to ISKCON Chowpatty, not permanently, but for using. They have said, you can use it now. They are using it for more than 8 years, some other places. Like that, yeah. Sense of minus gradually reduces by doing something religious. Yes. Now, how to reduce ahanta? Ahankar. Ahankar means what? I was the first one to do this. I can do that very easily. That's very cheap thing for me. And I have so much money. And I am the champion in this particular thing. Or I am one of the members of such and such society, Corinthian society or some society. So the I is very, very deep rooted. It's more deep rooted than mama also. More than mamata, I mean things belonging to my body. But I means I myself, that ahamastamba, Bhagavatam, Narada Muni says this about the Nalakur Manigri. When you have the Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribir, Yedamana, Madappuman, that creates ahanta very strongly. I am a great person. Pride, great pride it creates. See, mamata causes attachment, ahanta causes pride. That is the problem. So when you give up mamata, gradually attachments reduce, but the pride remains. I am a great person. Yeah, read it.
Now, next, workers give up their motivation for personal gain and instead labor for the Lord out of sense of duty. Nishkam karma mishra bhakti.
Earlier one was sakama karma mishra bhakti. Is nishkam. Why nishkama? Now there are people who connect with ISKCON and they want to do something for ISKCON. Some of them you will find, I went to Tirupati, our Prabhu, Devataman Prabhu was telling that they have in Kakinada or some place, one place, they have started a Annamrit kind of, this kind of program they have. So one school principal, an owner, he's a school owner, he owns a school and his wife is the principal, I think that. So that person has taken the full charge for the, what do you call it, the midday meal in that city, you know, giving a midday meal for some 5,000, 6,000 children there. And he still has mustache and he is still not a proper devotee yet. He is not even chanting, maybe occasionally one round he chants. But he has lot of appreciation for Revatiram Prabhu, say the senior Vaishnava devotee. So he is ready to work hard. He is ready to labor for the Lord out of a sense of duty. He feels that, you know, instead of, actually he doesn't get any benefit from it for himself. He is doing it, he is spending a few, as a service he is doing. Yes, go ahead.
At this stage, both the sense of myness and I-ness diminish, but the identity remains unclear.
He doesn't think about I am Krishna's servant and all that. Mujhe kaam acha lagta hai. I like doing this. I am whose servant, that we will talk later. But right now, you gave me this. There are people in society, they like to do many things like that. If there is some social service type of thing, they like to do. Or there are many youngsters also come and say, you know, their hands are itching, give us something. So they found out in one of the temples, they told me, ISKCON temples, whenever they have Rath Yatra every year, some youngsters come and do a lot of, what do you call it, volunteering service. Similarly, Toshan Mahaprabhu had engaged some boys and girls in some service also like that. So these people are more service-oriented than devotion-oriented. They have a natural propensity. Now they will do for you. Tomorrow some other club is calling and telling them, will they do or not?
Yes.
They will do also. But at the same time, we hear if they are inspired by a sadhu and they do it. So gradually, by that kind of work, what happens?
The newfound role as Krishna's servant is solely in relation to temporary duties, not eternal service. Their surrender, though, has gone beyond that of selfish workers, because such nishkam karma yogis try to offer every act of life, not just their work, to the Lord. This is called karma arpanam.
See, here he says a very important point. The surrender, though, has gone beyond the selfish workers because such nishkama karma yogis try to offer every act of life, he says. Which means, these people actually, because they are rendering such service, eventually you will see in their shop or in their business place, they will have a big picture of Krishna. They will have respect for the devotees. They will want to do something. They may donate also money, a big amount of money they may donate. In this way, they come even more closer. Then the ahankar also reduces. And then, recognizing being servant of Krishna theoretically now. How will they come? Yeah, yes.
As dutiful devotees advance, they recognize that detached work is incomplete without attentive spiritual practices, such as studying scriptures and chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah, that means when the mamakar and ahankar reduces, then the desire for spiritual activities increases. That is a secret. That means the more upadhis are there, Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tatparat pera nirmalam, he says, you know, when we are identifying material upadhis, we become very fruitive. Fruitive means, you know, I will achieve success. This is my thing. It's my project. It's my room. It's my vehicle. And I have done this. I have done that. So the more we become attached to I and mine, then the spiritual activities reduces. More and more they reduce. But the more the mamata and ahankar is reduced, then one can pay attention to spiritual practices. Yes.
At this stage, the devotion is mixed with the cultivation of knowledge. Nishkama karma jnana mishra bhakti.
It's nishkama. It's nishkama bhakti. It's at the same time mixed with karma jnana mishra. Yeah. As a result
of their devotional practices, their sense of I-ness and myness diminish further. But because their attachment to Krishna is weak, they still have no clear sense of their spiritual identity. Their sense of being Krishna's servant is more an ideal than a practicality.
Yeah, they theoretically know they are servant of God. They will say also sometimes, no, hum kaun ama, no, we have not done anything, we are just instrument, it's all God doing. But you know, still they have a feeling, I am doing. Huh? They may be saying God is doing, just lip service they will do. But still they have some amount of feeling that I am also doer. Yeah.
Finally,
yeah,
when devotees revive the awareness that they are Krishna's servant, they reach a stage equivalent to the eightfold path of mysticism, yoga, mishra, bhakti. Although they feel themselves to be servants of Krishna, they remain attached to their sadhana and to all the conditions that facilitate it. But in a way, that obscures active service to Krishna.
Yeah, because these are dhyana yogis. Now they come to the point, they have found out the Lord now, in the heart. Dhyana avasyata tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yogino. So they will sit with their kamandalu in one place under a tree, and then they will do meditation on the Lord in the heart. So this type of brahmacharis also you will find. They are very particular about time per kana, time per sona. You know, I have my kamandalu, I have my japa beads, and don't give me any service beyond this box. This is my service box, Prabhu. Service timing, within this only you have to give me service. And don't tell me to go here, go there. They are more self-focused, sadhana-focused, and facility-focused. And they don't do active service to Krishna. Like, for example, deity worship or missionary activities. They don't have that type of inclination for those services. Actually, doing deity worship as well as missionary activities requires selflessness. Lot of selflessness. So these people have selfishness, not like the previous fellows. The previous fellows had selfishness for fruitive activities. Whereas these fellows are selfish for sadhana and spiritual self-care. They are more concerned about their own personal advancement in spiritual life. So here also they are concerned about themselves only. So that's what he is saying. Read the heading. Recognizing
I am Krishna's servant but attached to sadhana and facilities, not service.
Now we have concluded now. Here this is called Bhakti Abhas. It goes from, first of all, one goes from, I told you three platforms. Irreligious, and divine, spiritual. So from irreligious to religious, how people come? They follow the Varnashrama rules and regulations, and then they become Sakama Karma Mishra Bhakti, which means they offer results to the Lord but for personal gain. And then they go to Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakti, where they don't expect any personal gain. They want to selflessly serve the Lord and do some work for Him according to their choice. And then Nishkama Karma Jnana Mishra Bhakti means they offer the results of work in full knowledge of the Lord. That means the knowledge has awakened and they have given ahankar, mamakar, both have gone. Now they are understanding Krishna servantship as a theoretical phenomenon. At last they come to the yogi level, Ashtanga yogi level. They clearly see that Lord is master, I am a servant, he is in my heart. But they become very sadhana focused, facility focused, and not service focused. So another path is direct path of pure devotion. Shuddha Bhakti we call it. You all know the nine stages I have put up here, which is Shuddha Bhakti. How is this different from the previous one which I showed you here? Actually, this is Bhakti Abhas, this is Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti. So the semblance of devotion, these are the gradual processes, staircase you climb up to come to this Shuddha Bhakti. That's one way. Another way is to directly meet a pure devotee and take a seed of devotion from him and cultivate that seed, and it's one stroke method we call it. Now concluding slide, read it. One lifetime approach or gradual route approach. This gradual route we discussed today. Correct, no?
Yes.
Gradual route of Sakama, Nishkama and all that. And here we all, let us see what Prabhupada says.
Devotees should not take up the activities of the semblance of devotion.
Which means gradual route. Yeah.
Thinking them easier than the practice of pure devotion. Neither should they think that Srila Prabhupada's one lifetime approach to pure devotion is too demanding, or that the gradual route through the semblance of devotion is more realistic. Why? You'll get answer for this in
part
Shaky
two.
To Steady Spiritual Life Part 2.
That is next Sunday.
Thank you.
Why we say? Because after hearing all this, you may feel, oh, now I understand. I think I am shaky because I am on a too high plane now. So let us better step down to this level at this level. So then I can avoid being shaky, you may think. No, sir. That's not the solution. Here it's clearly said that one should not only go through these gradual steps, one should discard the steps and one should directly go for a one lifetime approach. That means go back to Godhead in this very life, Prabhupada said. So we will see more about it in the second session, it will become more clear. Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.